The Angelic Doctor Today by Robert Royal. I sometimes wonder whether Thomas Aquinas, whose feast is today, hasn't been ill-served by being so universally praised and therefore less really read. Please don't misunderstand. He's the GOAT, greatest of all time, in sports parlance, among Christian thinkers. And, except for a few names like Plato and Aristotle, among all human thinkers, period. But in the general decline of culture and its many current perversions, to have once been thought great in that way is now to become a prime target. When I was young and trying to find my way through the thickets of thought, I had a Catholic schoolboy's assumption that Aquinas was, at the very least, someone to be reckoned with. But then you might come across a passage like this in what many might think an authoritative source. He, Aquinas, does not, like the Platonic Socrates, set out to follow wherever the argument may lead. He is not engaged in an inquiry, the result of which it is impossible to know in advance. Before he begins to philosophize, he already knows the truth. It is declared in the Catholic faith. If he can find apparently rational arguments for some parts of the faith, so much the better. If he cannot, he need only fall back on revelation. The finding of arguments for a conclusion given in advance is not philosophy, but special pleading. I cannot, therefore, feel that he deserves to be put on a level with the best philosophers either of Greece or of modern times. That's from Bertrand Russell's History of Western Philosophy. I wonder if anyone reads it anymore, except for those ensorcelled by Russell's narrow, mid-20th century skepticism come libertinism. It's clear that Russell didn't read Aquinas. He already knew the truth about him and therefore made obvious assumptions. Many still do read Thomas, people not easily fooled, with names like Maritain, Gilson, Vaughan, Lonergan, McKinney, McIntyre, Fisher, and many more. Because at the same time that he is creating a vast cathedral of thought and spirit, Aquinas establishes the gold standard for distinguishing between human reason, i.e., philosophy, and what by nature exceeds the scope of human reason, i.e., revelation. He sets out as a convinced Christian, to be sure, but uses his brains on matters that reason is fitted to address. It seems that the existence of God cannot be demonstrated, for it is an article of faith that God exists. But what is of faith cannot be demonstrated, because a demonstration produces scientific knowledge, whereas faith is of the unseen, Hebrews 11 verse 1. Therefore, it cannot be demonstrated that God exists. STIA 2I. Among the many interesting things about a passage like this in Aquinas is that it's presented as a question, actually an objection. One of three similar objections to demonstrating that God, absolute being, exists. And so a kind of intellectual dialogue begins. People have said this on one side, and on the other side these other things. How can they be reconciled? Thomas thinks that the absolute can be demonstrated by reason, the famous five ways. To oversimplify and give them names, he posits an unmoved mover, first cause, necessary being, greatest good, and final end. These notions he gathered from thinkers like the pagan Aristotle and many Christian sources, to be sure. But they are categories of reason, not faith or revelation, which he recognizes as something quite different. Readers over the centuries have disputed whether these ways are watertight proofs or not, but they are at least material that can be rationally examined. And there's no denying that engaging those ideas has resulted in much remarkable Christian thought. Many Catholics and others believe that St. Thomas was the primary intellectual figure in church teaching from the moment he appeared. He was always regarded as a great thinker, of course. But contrary to widespread impressions, Thomism had not been particularly prominent in Catholic philosophical training prior to Pope Leo XIII's call for a revival of Thomistic thought with his 1879 encyclical Eterni Patris. In the 19th century, Catholic philosophers often drew on Descartes, Christian Wolff, Immanuel Kant, et al., in somewhat disjointed and unsystematic fashion. Leo's encyclical sought to bring back St. Thomas for two main reasons. First, he was the most Catholic of thinkers in that he integrated so many different strands of thought and practice into a coherent whole, something much needed in modern times with the explosion of knowledge in various fields. In Eterni Patris, Leo quotes Cardinal Cajetan, 1469 to 1534. that Thomas had received, ordered, and integrated previous Christian wisdom in such a way that he seems to have inherited the intellect of all. In the spirit of Thomas, Leo concluded that we hold that every word of wisdom, every useful thing, by whomsoever discovered or planned, ought to be received with a willing and grateful mind. But Leo was not only interested in intellectual renewal. He had a second aim. As Russell Hittinger has pointed out, in Leo's own work, some 110 encyclicals and other teaching letters, Thomas is rarely discussed or referenced apart from the social-political problems. Modern Catholic social doctrine owes a great deal to Leo's revival of Thomism and his application of it in the first modern social encyclical Rerum Novarum, 1891. There's much in Thomas of great worldly importance for questions like just war, the death penalty, and good social order. But it would be a mistake to overlook the deep spiritual nature of Thomas's work. See Jean-Pierre Torel's Thomas Aquinas, Spiritual Master, or St. John Paul II's Doctoral Thesis Faith, according to St. John of the Cross, which uses Thomist categories to explain the Spanish mystic. In Faith and Reason, St. John Paul II got the angelic doctor just right. St. Thomas is an authentic model for all who seek the truth. In his thinking, the demands of reason and the power of faith found the most elevated synthesis ever attained by human thought, for he could defend the radical newness introduced by revelation without ever demeaning the venture proper to reason. Words, these days, worth taking to heart.